Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So we were talking to Davi Root of the Efficient Group a short while ago, and of course he mentioned that the IMF today releasing its World Economic Outlook, and they did slash the forecast for South Africa by 0.5% to just 1% growth this year. But the IMF also cutting its growth forecast for the entire global economy, as well as almost every country in the world. And this is really on the back of what's happening with the US and Donald Trump's tariffs that are going to kick in. So the IMF really reflecting on the global economic system being reset after decades, something like 80 years. And this is really unprecedented, this tariff war. It will really usher the world into a new era and will significantly slow growth. For South Africa, you know, its own domestic struggles, the impact of this tariffs will only add to the pressure this economy is already under. We're going to continue now. I'm going to be talking to Dr. Charles Sinkala. He's an Africa analyst. And we're talking about exactly that, the tariffs and how it's going to affect especially the Southern African development community. A very good evening to you, Dr. Sinkala. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, and good evening to your listeners.
So we have this pending 30% tariff hike coming to South Africa. Of course, all tariffs have been put on hold for 90 days. I think we've got about 75 to 80 days still left of that. But once they kick in, let's look at South Africa first. The impact on that. We are very big fruit exporters, agriculture overall. We are big automobile exporters as well, and of course minerals. The impact of these tariffs just on South Africa alone?
It's quite difficult now. At some impact will take a very long time to materialize, but immediate impact will be the cost of doing business will be very high, as businesses will add that 30% to the cost of doing business, which will essentially make the exports of South Africa to be more expensive and not be competitive to the rest of the world.
Is it as easy just to start looking for newer markets?
Of course, there's always been that on the market for each and every country, even though they enjoy the bilateral and multilateral relationships with different countries. And I think United States of America has become a problem child to South Africa. I think they would like to change in terms of many policies, especially the foreign policy, the way South Africa has a stance in terms of conflicts in the world. And I think one of the major issues or the key pointers is to affect the trade policies, so that they may succumb to that. But South Africa is welcome to look for other markets. There's quite a lot of markets, within Africa and outside Africa that can be more lucrative. This can be also be termed as a blessing in disguise.
But will it be, we look at AGOA, right? We look at AGOA, and we've been with AGOA for almost 30 years. And there's over 1,000 products that are going to the United States. Government has argued here that it will be detrimental, especially on the job side of it, because it employs thousands of people are in these various manufacturing industries in order to produce these goods. If we lose AGOA, what happens to those jobs? Will it be a quick fix, as in finding new markets and preparing for those markets?
Well, one thing that the South African government hasn't come open, is to compare those relations with AGOA for the past 30 years, as you have mentioned. Was it leaning towards South Africa benefiting, one or two few jobs that AGOA has created within South Africa? And what has the United States, benefited over that those period, same period as compared to what South Africa can celebrate now? You know, one will look at that the AGOA was not the initiative of South Africa. And also that tells you a bigger picture that whoever does not call an initiative, you know, they are more likely to benefit from those bilateral relations. And I think AGOA's initiative, you know, was to, you know, to benefit more than the other party, which is South Africa. I think South Africa must, question critically these aspects where they say they will lose jobs, where how many jobs, you know, how much is the cost to those jobs as compared for them saving those ties with the United States of America and become independent to look at other markets.
When you look at the other countries as well, I mean, just on your argument that South Africa could have actually done more to improve its situation as opposed to just staying happy with AGOA and to carry on, almost to be complacent, it should have looked for other markets. The impact on other countries, just looking at them losing, for instance, Lesotho. Lesotho got the highest tariff, and this was worked on the trade deficit, right? So Lesotho got that, but Lesotho AGOA is extremely important. It basically makes up the bulk of that economy. What happens to a country like that that is providing all of these jobs and exporting, especially to the U.S. market? It isn't as diversified. It has these contracts in place for the U.S. market. What happens to a country like that?
It looks like that on face value, but in reality, actually, South Africa is the biggest employer of the Botswana people from Lesotho. Basotho people, rather. And, yes, they have said they can compete, but a competition between, especially this, what the animal they call, the devil they call, the Intercontinental Africa Free Trade Agreement, there's no way you can have Lesotho to compete on trade with the United States of America or China. You know, one who compare, a child, who hasn't been in the boxing ring, to fight against the likes of the world champions, automatically, if you look at the economy of Lesotho, the manufacturing sector is more of the importation of finished products rather than exporting. Yes, they may export one or two things, but like I mentioned before, we have to question and make sure that the bilateral agreement or what is feared to have been lost or to be lost, it is significant as compared to what is saying. In fact, when talking about trade deficit and as well as a trade elsewhere, markets, especially South Africa, which has now looked into the development of markets within the African continent, we have seen the MTN establishing in Nigeria. We have seen ShopRite establishing in Zambia, Mozambique, and many other African countries that is benefiting actually the South African GDP and the cost of them doing business within the continent, as compared to them exporting across the seas, where they are faced with unrealistic tariffs, and impositions and the fear of sanctions should they not conform themselves to certain trade agreements that they sign within those superpower countries.
When you talk about this being a blessing in disguise, I mean, could this push forward a movement in terms of the African continental free trade area?
Yes, definitely. You know, when a child is born and forever they keep on clinging to their parent, the parent at one time, they must leave that child to walk and fall as many times as one will think. But eventually that child will start standing up and will start running up. So South Africa and the continent at large, especially SADC, which has predominantly been dominated by treaties signed by either the West or the United States of America through those influence trade treaties and agreements, I think it will be, as I termed it, a blessing in disguise that let's look elsewhere. you know, where tariffs are more conducive, where we can also export only finished products, as compared to these trade agreements, which has said that nations that produces raw materials must produce, I mean, must export about 60 to 80% of raw materials. But if you sever those agreements, which does not have bottlenecks or bureaucratic impediments in terms of doing trade, it gives you as a country, as a nation, as a continent, you know, to trade elsewhere freely where there are markets without any restrictions such as the ones which I've talked about. That, you know, if you travel to Zambia now yourself, you see that Kentucky Fried Chicken is there, Nando's, and many other companies, South African companies, which we are struggling, especially post the COVID pandemic, that cannot even establish in the U.S. market, in the western part of markets. But these other parts of the market areas are quite easy to explore.
How long, though, before we actually get going? Because right now we've only have a handful of countries that are trading under ACFTA, under the guided trade initiatives. How do we get this moving? Or is this an opportunity for us to fast track it, to move it along? I know there's lots of licensing and lots of regulation that needs to be put in place, but work has been moving in this direction. How long more before we can actually start trading within our continent?
Probably 100 years or more. Policies has to be, you see, the story for United States of America and these principles, and especially its founding charter. Also, we can look just not long ago when President Donald Trump won the elections. It's about America first, you know. And if you compare the two nations, where South Africa would like as well a participation in terms of trade, an equal share of trade, you know, and where America poses a perspective, not even hiding it and just telling it straightforward that it's America first. So all these policies, and in fact, the executive orders that has been signed by the current president of the United States of America has never put, you know, countries such as South Africa into consideration. Or what will happen, for instance, if they cut off the USAID aid, which has been, you know, supplying and helping carry out some programs in South Africa and elsewhere, you know, the overnight they can just announce and say we are cutting off the sanctions without really cutting off the supply of that funding, without even considering the policies for those nations, without considering the impact of the employment in those nations, and considering the impact of what really that has been helping those countries. And such an agreement and such a one-sided perspective in terms of trade cannot be a mutual trade. Hence, you know, it will take very long time for, especially for Africa, to be included, you know, in what we call the table of civilization, where now they will be like to be told, in terms of decisions or policy by other nations. In fact, I always say that I quoted one of the parted policies which they did some time back, that, you know, when South Africa has to trade with the United States of America, the rand and the dollar must be one-to-one, because at that time they did not see why South Africa should pay 19, almost 20 rands to fetch $1.
It's quite a thing to look at, you know, for the lack of a better word. I can't find a word right now, but I mean, it's a long time to go, but I think there is progress on the horizon. The ACFTA is a start, and if we can start trading within ourselves, within our continent, the potential, there's so much of potential there, and not only to trade amongst ourselves, but to bring these prices lower. Why should we be going to other countries in order to get what we can actually make and sell to each other right here at home?
Yes, indeed. we have to produce that we can consume and export that is in excess. Countries are different. GDPs, you have mentioned Lesotho, mentioned smaller nations such as Botswana with a small GDP and small population. You know, it cannot be compared to nations such as South Africa, Nigeria. They are different, you know, terrains and in terms of trade. And I think much due diligence has to be taken and consideration for those countries that cannot be at par with other nations. You know, they have to look at various aspects in terms of not a general rule which, you know, everybody can fit them, you know, but each and every individual country, geopolitics as well, they affect in terms of those nations. Others, they are developing. Others, probably, they are not even developing. They are going backwards politically and economically. They are very vulnerable. So aspects in terms of policy and changing, I think we were never going to have a situation like in the 1940s, you know, 1942 to lead into the last Second World War, 1945, where nations, bigger nations such as Germany and others, wanted the monopoly of trade. You know, it is impossible to have that monopoly of trade as other nations now would like to tame it. You know, we can see the trade wars between the United States of America and China.
Dr. Charles Sincala, thank you very much. It was very interesting chatting to you. Dr. Charles Sincala is an Africa analyst.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.